goes high towards the play there. Walsh got there ahead of him though. Moncair plays it back in again. And Noah Smith!
Right, I'm joined in the pub this time by Sam Morshead. We're just going to have a bit of a chat following the kind of week's events. Yeah, thanks for joining me, Sam.
No problem.
Yeah.
Nice to be here.
Jed's left now. Mm. I mean, has he still got the 40% shareholding? Does anyone know?
I don't think he does, but he might do. Yeah. No one really knows. I'm trying to get that firmed up by anyone, but your guess is as good as mine at the moment. The way that the conversations with Lee Power have gone, doesn't sound to me like he does, but he had the option there to buy it back. I'd be surprised if he did, if that was the case, but we will clear that up in due course.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the things that have been sort of said on the web about sort of how much respect that he deserves, I mean, we can all sort of come at it from different points of view about when we sort of saved the club in the first instance, or how much people kind of believe whatever sort of allegations have been sort of made, really. How do you kind of see?
Jed was a facilitator. At the time, it needed someone to be there to be there for the takeover and to make sure that the club didn't have any financial problems. I don't necessarily mean by cash injection, but just the administrative side, because when Andrew Black decided that was enough, it needed a very quick fix, and the quick fix came without the due diligence and the kind of auditing that would be required by the majority of potential investors.
So I mean, there's a lot of truth there in terms of that Jed came in and didn't do the audit.
Well, there was several stories that came out at the time that Jed had hours in terms of being told this is what the situation is, do it or don't do it. And I think that he really is the kind of football fan that he put himself out to be. He didn't want to see a club go under, and therefore, with whatever he had behind him, however much that was, I mean, that's negligible now. You don't need to talk about it. But he stepped in, not necessarily financially, but just the presence, and that did ensure that the club could make that transition.
Yeah, he's been such a character.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, someone said to me, you know, sort of how much do we actually sort of remember Jed going forward? You know, is he a legend? Some people kind of tweeting, you know, seek back to Jed, hashtag legends.
Yeah.
Jed retweets an awful lot. Yeah, I don't think legend in the sense of you won't ever forget him.
No, never.
For his personality. And there's a load of people, you know, supporters who think he's just brought such a breath of fresh air and life into the club. And I can completely sort of understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been completely different. He's someone that the club will remember for many, many years, because he isn't just a run-of-the-mill chairman. He was just something completely out of the ordinary, and I think he deserves to be remembered in that sense. I think he did bring a little bit of life, but, you know, people didn't like certain things that he did as well, and there were sides that were always grey. In fact, there was a lot of grey in that 10-month period, not a lot of black and white.
Yeah.
And I think what Power is trying to say is that he is going to be black and white and not grey, and we'll see what happens next. But yeah, Jed was a lot of fun, and he provided an important facility to make sure the club progressed, although it doesn't necessarily appear progression just for him being there.
Yeah.
It did mean that the club could go from Andrew Black to a new era without any very, very negative
administration,
which could happen.
And all
I hate using the word.
Yeah,
but yes, administration and the, you know, what comes with it, which in the case of Swindon could be a lot worse than you might normally associate with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think about sort of Lee Power. I mean, I don't know whether you spoke to him much about kind of, you know, he's been out of sort of football clubs for a couple of years now, since Russian Diamonds was his last one that he was involved in, and whether he could have quit, whether he could have bought a club as whether he needed time, whether he needed to kind of piggyback on a Jed to get in, bear in mind any sort of fit and proper person says. It did seem to take some time, sort of between April and June, I think it was, when he was finally confirmed by the football league. I presume that the whole situation, you know, Lee perhaps needed someone like Jed to enable him to kind of get back into football in some way, did he? Or am I just kind of reading too much into?
As far as I'm concerned, if someone puts in a fit and proper test and they're going to get passed,
yeah.
So obviously we were told that but a test was put in May, and it took roughly 2 months for it to be confirmed that he was then a director. I mean, it might have needed someone to be piggybacked. It might just have been that he was waiting for the club to be in a position audited and just more black and white than when Jed came. Maybe he didn't want to put his name to a club that was so uncertain at the time.
Potentially, and but then ultimately he'd have to pay a bit more for that because he could have bought
the club. He had to buy into
quid,
it in the first. Buy into it to take the stake off some previous... previous stakeholders within it. Jed, Martin King, I think, had a percentage of it or some sort of stake in it. And then there's Tommy Agenbar as well.
Well, on that point, I mean, is Harry going to be about?
Well, he's got a contract.
Hasn't he? Whether he'd get a game or...
It's grey again. It's something that we don't.
At this point, I don't wish that upon him because he's a professional footballer. You know, he's got his own living to earn. He's got he's got to find another club if his future isn't at Swindon. I just hope that the club can facilitate that.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he's not going to be in our first team.
No, probably not. But I mean, they've shown so far this season that they've been able to get players out on loan, the likes of Alex Ferguson, Mark Francis, Caelan Jackson, Connor Walden have gone out and get it. So what? I mean, he can go out and get football.
Yeah, good stuff. Right. So, I mean, Power's sort of press statement earlier this week. Reading back through that again, very well in terms of how it was written, the points that he sort of addressed, quite an honest assessment of the situation. You know, every fan loves the bit in the token we're going to get to the Premier League, because you know you can't have a press statement without that. I mean was anything in there that kind of caught your eye? There's a particular
I think that the Premier League statement is one that you never know whether anyone is actually serious when they say it. So therefore, when they put it in there, do you need to put it in there? He's going on it. He said it again. He said it again today in his press conference. Yeah. So maybe there is an aspect of it. I think the whole thing was eye-opening for me, because it was an actually well-constructed piece of PR, which hasn't really come out of the club.
Probably for a year.
At least, and I bring into the probably since Jeremy Ray left, actually, it's probably been that long, which is 14 months, and I can't remember a piece of PR coming out in that way before. So it was interesting. He broke down some financial details. He confirmed a few things which people were wondering about, and I think it's turning that black that grey into black and white again.
I mean, the bits where he sort of talks about the financial forecast being sort of drastically inaccurate, kind of. You know, I attended. You went to the business plan presentations back in July, and the whole purpose of that, you know, the amount of money that they attributed to concerts or My World to generate this £2 million revenue stream seemed very far fetched at the time. Loved it to have been true. I didn't really belittle it because I wanted it to happen, but it's so disappointing. I obviously, looking back, I wonder at the sort of purpose of that business plan presentation, whether it's just to buy time for the previous lot. But
I don't know. Part of what Jed was doing was honest and from the heart, and he did, I honestly believe, he thought that between them they could make something significant. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that in terms of their revenue streams, they were probably trying to prophesize 3 years in the space of one, and that was the issue. I think certain elements with it, My World seems, from what the people are saying, to have caught on. Fans are certainly, from what I can tell, are very happy with the way that you can purchase tickets through it. And combining it with merchandise makes sense. It's an online world. The concerts was a complete farce. It was a mess. I think the club were as angry with it as the fans were about it. They obviously outsourced, and it was their responsibility to give the contract to those people.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it wasn't their fault that it went wrong. It's looking back at those business plans now. We said at the time, "Wow, this would be pretty extraordinary," and obviously it would have been pretty extraordinary. But honest intentions that were maybe never going to be fulfilled.
No. The press statement's got all the right words in there, really. If you're kind of looking at this from a football fan, in terms of Swindon's got an unrealised potential, wants to have a viable business, sustainable level in terms of budgets, and the club's not where it's want to be. He talks about philosophy, blueprint, which is great. You know, I mean, I like a club having a defined philosophy. But it's obviously carrying that on, and what I would like is a chairman or owner to kind of set up something that was so successful and could continue beyond their, you know, legacy. We'll talk about legacy now after the Olympics, but no, but it's not. It's true though. You have an approach. I mean, I've talked before about the importance of a continuity director of football. It's not necessarily fashionable in English football to achieve that. Mm. But you know, a club like Swindon is always going to have the philosophy that he's looking for in terms of younger players, giving people opportunities, concentrate on youth. I mean, I can't imagine that it's going to be different in any time in the near future unless some shape comes in.
No, absolutely.
It's just one way of kind of stamping that into the future.
I think the interesting point that I wouldn't agree with Lee Power on within his statements both today and in that statement that was released on Tuesday is that his blueprint doesn't seem to account for the need for a relocation or, which would be better, a redevelopment of the county ground. That's not something that is within his plans.
He's not put that in.
He's not put it in that one. Today he said outright it's not part of what he's thinking about.
But that doesn't
make sense to me.
Yeah. But then if he's basing his philosophy on not necessarily raising income and keeping a small sustainable budget, then that is the approach he's going to take.
For the stuff in the top of League One. If you're going to be if you're going to fulfil what you're talking about, if his long term goal really is the Premier League, then that Premier League cannot be facilitated within the county ground as is at the moment.
It is quite simple. If you were to redevelop the county ground, it is a big stand at the town end, like the Trent end sort of thing, with boxes in and roof on Stratton Bank.
If you wanted to redevelop it,
22,000 seat stadium. You know, it's quite a.
If you were to do it that way,
straightforward, cheap way, yeah.
Or you would flip it sideways and use the cricket pitch, which is the way that you would increase revenue from alternative streams rather than just football. And that's something that you would require the council to be involved in and the cricket club. So look at that, my booster.
It's boosted. Look at that. Very nice.
You would need all
kinds of things. For the record, Sam has a Monterey Jack and bacon burger with chips.
And Ron's starving himself. So yeah, I think that maybe that's something that I would say that he needs to involve himself in. But maybe in a couple of years' time, if he does find himself in the Championship, he will do.
Yeah.
Now we've just got to see what he does with the playing budget. And I'm going to have a chip.
I'm going to chip. Right, anyway, we'll be back after this food. Right, welcome back. Sam's had his burger.
I have.
Was it nice?
Yeah, it was alright. It was quite greasy. But then again, I think most people on Twitter know that I like my burgers, so it's fine.
I saw that, I think back through some old tweets, I think it's one of Jed's that retweeted of one that Craig did a mock backup page.
Podgegate.
Podgegate.
I still haven't seen Troy since then.
Yeah. It's a very good picture.
I'm claiming that I've lost weight in the last month. No one's believed me yet.
Right, so you had a very brief...
Yeah, it was quite brief.
..interview or press conference with Lee Power at the County Ground earlier today on Friday.
Yep.
Anything really to report? Was there really much sort of gleaned from it that was new or wasn't covered in this press release?
I think he addressed the issue of ground redevelopment, or the lack thereof, actually, as it turns out. He doesn't seem to be interested in it in the slightest, nor does he seem to be interested in relocating the club anywhere. So that was something that came out of it, something that a lot of people will feel is, if the club wants to develop, then it needs it.
You ultimately need a substantial amount of money in it to actually realise that. And I think that's honest in terms of that. Ultimately saying I haven't got the money to do this at the moment. You know, there may be other investors coming in the future, so it could be a possibility, but I like that, you know, that other people have come in before, and it, you know, the fit and lot made great sways on that they were actually going to deliver it. Didn't get anywhere near it in their sort of 4 years, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he was honest with that, because it's quite a lot. It was the same with him just assessing the budget, and you saying, yes, there are going to have to be further cuts in the summer. We knew that was coming anyway. It's a natural course of progression when some of these contracts run out that were handed out by Paolo in his second season. He was saying as well that he admitted that his wealth was not of that of the previous lot.
What judge, you mean? Or?
No, sorry.
Yeah. you forgot him, your own mind. You've forgotten him that quickly.
I've forgotten him that quickly. I don't think anyone could forget him that quickly. No, obviously, I mean Andrew Black. So he was honest with that. He said he was the only investor in it. So, although, I mean, I had been told previously that there was someone else behind it. He's saying that there isn't.
So what's Stephen Crouch's role? Is it purely administrative? In
Steve Crouch is Howard's accountant.
Yeah.
He has been his accountant for a while. So he's obviously on the holding company in that respect. I expect him to be introduced onto the board of the club at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know when that will be. It won't be for anything else other than the financial side of things, like Russell Backhouse used to do.
Oh, yeah.
So very little involved in the actual forefront day-to-day stuff. Sangeeta, he says, is going to stay on. When I spoke to her on Tuesday, she was saying, I'm not sure exactly how long I am staying on, so I think that's a play-it-by-ear job. I know that we're waiting for the release of the audit with this expected commentary, which is meant to be of November. Yeah. And I have been in contact every day with Sangeeta this week, and she's been saying, it is coming. You tend to believe her. So hopefully we'll see it before Christmas at least.
So the audit covers up to the period up to
May.
It's end or start of May?
I believe it's the end of May.
Yeah.
I think it's the same as the accounts.
Yeah.
I wouldn't quote it yet. I've quoted myself on a podcast, haven't I? But we'll find out properly in due course. It's May sometime.
Sounds like Jeddah. Don't quote me on it.
Don't quote me on it. Don't quote me on anything. In general, he addressed the situations that people are sort of asking about, like his 90-day rule that he said, yeah, I can only be in the country for 90 days. How are you going to run it then? They're going to bring a general manager in to oversee the day-to-day. They've already got Steve Anderson in there running the financials on a day-to-day, so I don't know whether that means that he will then just assume the GM.
So Lee's the chairman now as the owner. Director of football.
Chairman, owner, I mean, effectively he's director of football.
He'll be manager soon, won't he?
He talks about Cooper very glowingly, and Luke Williams as well. I think they honestly do have a good relationship. I spoke to Mark at length yesterday, after our press conference with him, and he said that he does enjoy the relationship there, and I think that they work together closer than some people gave him credit for at the start. And I think they do bounce ideas off each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how dictatorial it is.
Mm. No, but I mean, you can understand that Power's obviously going to have quite a strong view because he's been a professional footballer.
Yeah.
And he's obviously got an opinion, and it's, you know, when you've got an owner who's got that background, you've got to give him some decent thought as a manager and guidance in essence.
And
Cooper is still, can I say, inexperienced as a Football League manager?
I think you can, because he's only managed what, 32 games in the Football League.
So you know he's still needing that advice, and ultimately if it's resulting in success on the pitch, then whether it is a bit more sort of top down, then you can't really complain really with that. Whether Cooper's going to be happy with anything like that in the long term, if it is
generally like he seems to be alright with the situation, and he's producing the goods with Luke. I mean, the two of them have created a number of different ways of playing this year. I mean, you've got to think how many different formations and systems that they've introduced, and that requires quite a lot of thought. That sort of difference of tactics and changing it and thinking about it, it's something that you don't often see at League One level. In fact, generally, see so many changes.
Yeah, over the past couple of years, we've just seen 4-4-2 and 4-3-3, 4-5-1. I mean, but all the time 4-4-2, isn't it, really?
Exactly.
It's such a surprise seeing three at the back at the counter ground the first time in the season.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not sure I would keep that
work for various reasons. Yeah. But it's just because, but that's just because, it's not because the system doesn't work, it's because the players we haven't got to play the system. It doesn't mean that the tactics are wrong, we should always play 4-4-2. And that's the odd thing that a lot of fans don't quite realise. It'd be interesting to see what happens in January on that sort of front. I mean, did Power sort of talk about January and sort of future sort of transfer plans?
I asked him about January, and he said that they would be looking to bring some people in. Again, he mentioned about the possibility of those who are there already on loan being sold by their parent clubs. The two that I would imagine specifically he's talking about is Pritchard and Ajose, of those four. I think Mason would be as well if he was playing more, if he'd been fitter. But
I mean, Pritchard, I mean, are we talking about a £1 million player there?
Yeah. Well, whether he is or not, that's a personal taste thing.
Yeah.
But that's the sort of figure that they're talking about.
Yeah, they would do. I mean, top of them, But yeah, they'll still be looking to sell some of the young players for some money. And we certainly couldn't afford to pay him. But ultimately, you know, it worked for them. You know, Pritchard coming to Swindon, playing, having a good season, and they get their £1 million.
And who's
from,
to say
from a derby or a, not
exactly from a championship? Yeah, a championship team. And who's to say that he can't go out and find another player, be it from Spurs or from a different Premier League club, in January who would fit the bill and come in? It might disbalance the side, or unbalance the side, sorry, briefly, but it would only be briefly. I think it's shown with him being in and out of the team for a few weeks that they can cope with him. He obviously adds a different dimension. I think this team has the ability to sort of drift between shapes and systems quite well.
Yeah. And who was the other player you mentioned, Mike?
Ajose. I think Peterborough will ask for an awful lot of money for him.
How much did they? Because they bought him from Manchester United for a fee. Is that right?
God, it is right. I can't remember. It's a six-figure fee. I can't. Maybe it's just 100,000.
His contract's out in the summer.
It's the year after.
Is it
this
year
summer.
After? Right.
So it becomes quite an expensive player to try and go after this January. Yeah. I'm not sure that they have it within their budget to get him. They've got him on a very cheap loan at the moment. They're only paying a small percentage of the wage.
Yeah.
So I imagine Peterborough won't want to allow Swindon to have the same percentage of that wage in the second half of the season, particularly if they're going to be competing right next to each other for the playoffs. They'll want them to pay a lot more of the wage, which they may not be able to afford. And if they went after him in a permanent deal, I imagine there are other clubs elsewhere in the lower levels of the Championship or at the top of League One who'd be able and willing to pay more than Swindon could for him on a permanent deal. So I'm not sure we'll see him after his loan runs out, which is a real shame because I think he's been real quality for the team.
Yeah, I mean, did Power kind of give any indication about Fodringham at all?
No, I didn't. To be fair, I didn't ask him about that. I've been spoken to people who are close to that situation in the space of the last week, and it's not quite the done deal that some people seem to think, and I think that the interest from Bournemouth is waning a little bit. So,
well, that's all that we want to hear at the moment. I mean, do you think that Bamford is going to be somebody who can step into his shoes, or if the worst comes to the worst?
I think he's going to learn to dominate his box more, but he's only played three professional games. So I think Wes had to learn to dominate his box more when he first arrived. He was always a good shot stopper. But
so did Matteo Lanzano.
He never learned. I wonder if he's learned now.
I was watching the highlights of the Hereford game again. The 3-3 and Lanzano. Anyway, it's purely because of a potential future Hall of Shamer, but anyway, maybe a bit harsh on him. But anything else?
Out of the press
conference at all?
I don't know, I was just surprised I was the only one asking any questions, to be honest.
Yeah.
It would
be interesting to listen to the fans phone in on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely.
I might phone in, I haven't caught the question yet, but not quite sure what it would be about.
Don't ask it about cheese.
No, I didn't think that. I'm not a big cheese fan. No one's really asked me.
No.
No.
What's your favourite cheese from?
I haven't really got one. I don't really like cheese.
Well, there you go.
So it's a bit boring, really.
But it'll be good to listen to fans, and I hope that plenty of them get the chance to have their say and ask him the questions that they want to.
Yeah, come on, Sean, stop hogging it. Right, so that's all that we've got sort of time for while Sam digests his burger. Lovely. And probably speak to you in a couple of weeks after the. Who have we got next at home? We've got Stephen of Sheffield United.
It's Coventry on the 21st.
Coventry 21st. So I might speak to you then. Just before Christmas. Cheers.